Hey y'all, I'm going to take a look at Luke chapter 8 and the healing of the Gerasene demoniac. This is in 8:26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? God, I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So, remember, Jesus' ministry at this point has faced increasing opposition, and Jesus has begun to teach in parables because he's not wanting to help those who oppose him. He only reveals the secrets of the kingdom to his disciples, to those who have undertaken to leave their families or their businesses to learn from him. And he's just taught on hearing and on the parable of the sower and how the vast majority of those who hear the word don't respond, but the ones who do hold on to the word in a good and honest heart and wind up doing it. And then, of course, he said, let's cross over. And on their crossing, they have encountered this storm and almost died. And the disciples find that when Jesus is with them in the boat, they're perfectly safe. Now, this whole theme of people in Israel, particularly leaders in Israel, hearing but not receiving the word is being underlined in all of this. And now Jesus goes to foreign territory. And again, this should take us back to Nazareth when Jesus told the crowds there that that a prophet is not accepted in his hometown, that the insiders of the Jewish faith, particularly the leaders, are not receiving, but those who are furthest away are receiving. Remember the faith of the centurion that Jesus said, "I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel." So this moment is also, I would suggest, an Exodus moment. It's as if the disciples are in New Israel. They're crossing over the Red Sea or through the Red Sea, and they almost drown. But because Jesus is with them, he brings peace to the wind and the waves. And of course, it's also a Jonah moment, because Jonah's the one who fell asleep in the boat while he was on a mission to Gentiles, or running away from a mission to Gentiles. And in this case, instead of throwing Jonah into the ocean, Jesus simply rebukes the wind and the waves. So they've crossed over and they come into what is Gentile territory. We know this for several reasons, one of which is it's a different kingdom. It's the Decapolis, a region of 10 cities. There were more Gentiles there. There's pigs. So that's a clear sign that these are not Jews. And everything about this episode is almost hellish. It's almost saying, listen, this is the most unclean, the most far from God you can get. You have a man possessed by unclean spirits. He lives among dead bodies, which would make him unclean. He is full of demons. There are pigs nearby. Everything about this moment screams separation and far separation from the presence of God and the people of God. So this is the realm of the Gentiles, and in Scripture, that is almost a universal theme, that the oceans, the seas, The deep waters represent Gentile nations. Think about in Daniel, the monsters that come out of the sea onto dry land. Those are the Gentile nations that face Israel. A further clue that underlines the theme of the Gentiles and the nations and the pagan enemies of God is the fact that the man is possessed by legion. This, of course, is the basic unit of Roman soldiers that could be upwards of 6,000 soldiers. This is a reference to Roman occupiers. And so, again, there's an underlining that we are in the territory of pagans who don't know God, who oppose the people of God, who often persecute the people of God. And that is precisely where Jesus goes. He doesn't just stay among the sheep, but he actually does go to the furthest extent of the earth. And it expresses his desire to bless all nations and to ultimately redeem all nations and bring those who are far away and bring them near. And I think it's important for Gentile Christians to see themselves in this man, to see themselves as separated from God in this kind of way. The fact that they're driven into the pigs is an Exodus moment, right? This is a legion, and they are enemies of the people of God. They're enemies of Jesus. They're enemies of the Most High God. They're driven into the pigs, and they go into the sea and drown, just like the armies of Pharaoh and Pharaoh himself are drowned in the Red Sea at the crossing of Israel. So there's this Exodus moment. And remember, in chapter 9, Jesus will talk about the Exodus that he's about to perform from slavery to sin and the fear of death. And then I love to emphasize that this whole trip, this life-endangering trip, this crossing of the sea in which the disciples almost all drown, and when they face this demon or this legion of demons, is for one man. Jesus crosses over for this one sheep. And there's a great loss of money at the deliverance of this one man. There's great fear at the deliverance of this one man. And it just underlines the fact that every life is precious to God. Of course, this man is an outpost of the kingdom, and he's going to be sort of the seed sown into the field that will spring up to a miraculous degree, right? Like the one who hears and holds on to it with a good and honest heart and bear fruit in this Gentile region. But again, that one life is precious to God. It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis from The Weight of Glory. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. So it just speaks to the preciousness of human life. I want to comment on the response. Of course, the people of the community are upset. And I think we can understand they're upset because of the economic loss. 2,000 pigs, it's a lot of pigs. That's a lot of money. But it says they're fearful. And I think there's more going on than just they're angry at the financial loss, although I think it's connected to that. I think part of what's going on is this man was a scapegoat. A scapegoat is someone who a whole community can kind of blame him or her for everything. He's the black sheep, and they can say, look, all of our problems or all the evils around us are the result of this man. A scapegoat allows people to focus on the evil out there rather than on the evil in here. So imagine what happens when they see this man in his right mind who has been, you know, a pillar of darkness, and suddenly he's totally healed and whole. I think that they're fearful because now they're going to have to face the darkness and the sin in them. And they don't get to any longer blame the problems of the community on this man. And so I think that's at least part of what's going on there. Finally, notice that Jesus says, the man wants to go with him, and he says, no, you need to go home, which he hasn't been able to be home. Go home and tell everyone how much God has done for you. And in the next verse, it says that he went home and told everyone how much Jesus had done for him. So this ties together the that theme of Jesus being the Son of God, being God himself. So may we know the love of God in Jesus that goes to the furthest extent, to the darkest place, to redeem us and bring us to the Father's house. And may we join him in that sometimes perilous, but ultimately fulfilling mission of bringing the kingdom of God to those who are most distant and most oppressed by sin. Amen.